Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey folks, so while the Lakers playoff run seems to be coming to an unceremonious end soon, there's still a lot of NBA playoff basketball to be played. And with Autograph, you can still take advantage of your basketball / Lakers fandom. On the Autograph app, all of your favorite sports content, sports articles, videos, podcasts, including yours truly, can be found in one place. And the more you read, listen, like, comment, and engage with this content, like you normally do, the more fans coins you'll earn, which you can then parlay into some pretty sweet sports prizes like $24 playoff tickets or $2 signed jerseys. Also, throughout the NBA playoffs, Autograph will continue to drop awesome rewards for fans, including 25% off Lakers merchandise. So all you need to do is download the Autograph app, check the description box of this episode, click the link, use the code LITLEGACY. All you need to do is sign up, create an account, and start fandoming away. Make sure to check the rewards tab to see all of the cool rewards Autograph will continue to drop throughout the NBA playoffs this year. And yeah, get rewarded for your fandom today on Autograph. All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where swiper, no swiping, sweeper, no sweeping, cheaper by the dozen, no sweeper by the dozen, because the Lakers finally broke their 11-game losing streak to the fucking Denver Nuggets. It will not go to 0-12. It is now 3-1. The Lakers are headed back to Denver, and yeah, they fucking did it. The Lakers beat the Denver Nuggets. I don't give a fuck what any Denver Nuggets fan says. I am sorry for cussing so much. I am just so hyped and excited that the Lakers actually got a win. I didn't think it was possible. The Lakers, of course, won 119-108 in Game 4 of the first round series versus the Denver Nuggets in front of a Crypto.com arena crowd. That was raucous. That was bumping. And yeah, regardless of what happens for the rest of this series, I am just glad that the Lakers showed some heart, showed some pride, and did not lay down, and at the very least, annoyed the Denver Nuggets, annoyed their fans, and proved that they could be a nuisance to this goddamn team. I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and today I am solo potting once again. This is going to be a very quick one. It's going to be more disorganized and stream of consciousness-y than even the prior pod was, but I just felt like I needed to get an episode out to just exhale, give a positive exhale for what has been a very arduous, frustrating series. I felt like I needed one positive playoff podcast out before I talk to Tommy the next time around, and mainly because the next time I talk to Tommy this week, the series might be over, or maybe not. So let's quickly talk about the game, because I felt like, well, for one thing, this was a wire-to-wire Lakers victory. It started off the same way every other game this series has, with the Lakers holding a double-digit lead heading into halftime. And I know everybody was holding that apprehension and anxiousness, just waiting for the Nuggets to come back and cut the lead and rip the hearts out of the Lakers, instill that doubt once again. The Lakers held a double-digit lead heading into the fourth quarter, But guess what? The Denver Nuggets have come back from that deficit as well, famously in Game 2 when Jamal Murray hit that buzzer beater. But this time around, the Lakers showed composure. They showed a cool, calm collectedness about them for the full 48 minutes that hasn't been there. Now, LeBron James wasn't very cool, calm, or collected when he was stomping his feet up and down the sidelines, yelling for Darvin Ham to call challenge. But that play aside, this Lakers win was probably the most well-balanced collective team effort that they've had this entire series. And they were actually able to sustain their play. They were able to fall back on structured sets. They called timeouts when they should have to stop Denver Nugget runs. And for the most part, the role players really stepped up to help Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And I am just overall very happy and proud that the Lakers were able to get this mile-high monkey off of their back. I don't think that this portends to them even taking it back to Los Angeles and making this a six-game series, but I think the Lakers just needed to prove it to themselves that they could beat the Denver Nuggets, that it wasn't impossible, that they weren't going to go down like punks. And yeah, it was just a very gutsy, gritty effort that the Lakers put on, regardless of whether or not you want to say that the Denver Nuggets put their foot off of the gas pedal, that they were coasting. That could have been the case, but at the same time, the Lakers were battling a lot of different issues as well. I mean, when you're this close to elimination and you're already in Los Angeles, the place that you call home, it is very easy for teams to just lay down and die, because who wants to go back to Denver just to lose in five games, you know, just to hear the crowd say, "Who's your daddy?" The Lakers were fighting that mentally, and their pride ended up winning the day. And thank God, because I'm just so glad that the Los Angeles Crypto.com Arena crowd was able to see their Lakers potentially one final time in this fashion, because even if the Lakers lose this series, I think the one thing that you can say about this team, they're an imperfect team, obviously, but in spite of all the hardships that they face this year, they have proven a relentlessness about themselves that should be admired. So before I get to any individual players, I just want to highlight the Lakers' late game execution. Because apart from them just being locked in and engaged on both ends of the court the whole game through, I feel like what really carried the day for them was their late game execution, particularly in the fourth quarter, when LeBron James was able to have the legs to close that game out. He had 14 points. I believe he was like 6 of 8 from the field. But half of those buckets came off ball, with him roaming the baseline, catching lobs, getting a layup from an Anthony Davis pass. Like, the reason why LeBron was so fresh was because for one of the first times in this series, the Lakers and Darvin Ham allowed D'Angelo Russell to play point guard through the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter and kind of throw the Denver Nuggets off kilter a bit. They diversified their offense by letting someone other than LeBron James handle the rock, and that D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Davis ball screen pick and roll game was so effective. They ran that play with D'Angelo Russell on ball 5 straight times in the fourth quarter, and guess what? The Lakers scored 5 straight times. And then when they brought Austin Reeves back in, they let him handle the rock as well. Austin Reeves ended up having 6 points, including that clutch mid-range jump shot on KCP when the Lakers were only up 7 with a minute left. So yeah, the Lakers' skill guards really came through. This was the first game where both D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves played stellar on both ends of the court. They both had 21 points, but they also brought it on the defensive end. And then late, it was their contributions as ball handlers that really allowed Anthony Davis and LeBron James to preserve their energy to close this game out. Anthony Davis more on the defensive end, gobbling up all these boards, and then LeBron James being able to just cut off ball, catch lobs, you know, get those steals and run in transition for that tomahawk jam. Yeah, it was just beautiful to see. It's sad that this all feels a little too late. But for one game, I'm just glad that the Lakers finally look like themselves. This is the team that I remember that closed the season out 20-10. That starting lineup that could actually put up points and be offensively potent, they finally came through in this game and stuck it to the Denver Nuggets. And yeah, I mean, we're going to live it up. It does not matter to me if the Lakers get swept in this gentleman's sweep sort of fashion. They did what they had to do in game four. And yeah, I'm proud of them. You know what? Let's take it to break. When we return, I just want to highlight Anthony Davis and then also have an amended message to D'Angelo Russell and the D'Angelo Russell stand. So let's take it to break, and then I'll catch you guys after the turn.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so we are back. Really quickly, I want to shout out our sponsors and partners once again, Autograph. On the Autograph app, all of your favorite sports content, videos, articles, and podcasts like yours truly can all be found in one place. And on top of that, you get rewarded for doing what you usually do as a fan and engaging with that content. Because on the app, during the NBA playoffs, Autograph will periodically drop rewards such as $24 NBA playoff tickets, $2 signed jerseys, 25% off Lakers merch, all that good stuff throughout the NBA playoffs just for signing up, creating a profile, and using the app. So download the Autograph app, use the link in our episode description box, use code LITLEGACY, and start getting rewarded for your fandom. All right, so let's talk about Anthony Davis, because this man is on an absolute tear. He has been playing so inspired. It breaks my heart that you can just tell how much Anthony Davis wants it, but yet he does not have the help around him. He does not have the requisite big man help around him to validate how he's playing, because the Lakers are down 1-3. Now, it can be argued that the Lakers should be tied 2-2 if not for some very questionable calls in Game 2, if not for a crazy Jamal Murray, Hail Murray buzzer beater. But they're down 1-3, and Anthony Davis's play is kind of getting lost in the conversation because of that. Anthony Davis this playoffs is averaging 30.5 points, 4 assists, 1.5 blocks on 62% from the field, while averaging 15.8 rebounds. That is 16 rebounds. He leads the playoffs in total rebounds, rebounds per game. He's second in points. Yeah, last night's game where Anthony Davis was a one-man wrecking crew on the boards, just scrapping and fighting like his life depended on it. It kind of did. It was just inspiring to watch, and my biggest takeaway coming out of all of this is the Lakers front office, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, we cannot waste this man's prime. He clearly wants it. He's fought and scrapped his way through this season to play as many games as possible. We have to honor that by getting him some help. If the man wants to play more power forward throughout the season, let the man play power forward. He has proven that he's willing to do whatever it takes to help this team win. Now the question is, are you, Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, are you willing to do the same and do whatever it takes to help this team win? And so, yeah, I'm just proud of Anthony Davis, because what he's done in this first round series is better than what he did in the bubble playoffs. And he's doing this against the best player in the NBA right now, in Nikola Jokic. And last night, he attacked quickly, he took it right at Nikola Jokic's chest, and kept scoring in the paint, kept boarding for his teammates, kept playing defense. And yeah, his consistency is the reason why we've had these first half leads every single game of this series, and why we were finally able to pull it out last night. So kudos to Anthony Davis. That is my big man. Please, please get him some help. All right, so let's talk about D'Angelo Russell once again to close this episode, because apparently we are the D'Angelo Russell podcast. And after my last solo pod, some D'Lo stans came after me for not having the requisite perspective and nuance with regards to D'Angelo Russell's Game 3. And after sitting on it a little bit more and having time to think about what D'Angelo Russell did in his 0-for game in Game 3, I have to say that the D'Lo stans were kind of right. I was a bit overreactionary, but I was kind of viewing things from the lens of what the front office would think, what LeBron James would think, what the skeptic fan would think about D'Angelo Russell's offer. All of these parties are not going to care about the caveats and the nuances behind why D'Angelo Russell put an offer. At the end of the day, they're just going to care that he put up 0 points in the most important playoff game for the Lakers. Now, having said that, D'Angelo Russell had a huge bounce back game in Game 4. 21 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He had that really nice clutch steal out of bounds play against Jamal Murray that Darvin Ham actually challenged and won. He was so engaged defensively this game as well. He was hustling for loose balls. He was putting his body on the line. He was locked in every aspect of the game. Something that couldn't be said for him in Game 3. Now, a big difference for why D'Angelo Russell was this aggressive, though, is how he was deployed. I went back and looked at Game 3 and how he was utilized, and the D'Lo stans have a point. In Game 3, D'Angelo Russell was used like he was Malik Beasley out there. He was 0 of 6 from 3, 0 of 7 from the field, only played 24 minutes. He was yanked at the 7-minute mark of the third quarter and didn't come back in till around the 4-minute mark of the fourth quarter. He was sat for a good 14 to 16 minutes, and I don't know what Darvin Ham was expecting him to do when the game was already over. I don't know what Lakers fans were expecting him to do. The man is human. The man is not an all-star. To have sat for 15, 16 minutes, you're likely not going to make your next shot, and D'Angelo Russell ended up missing his next 2 threes after being inserted cold. So I actually have a lot more empathy for D'Angelo Russell's Game 3 than I thought, because, yeah, they did not use him as a ball handler. They did not use him like a point guard. They were treating him like Malik Beasley. Now, again, part of the onus is on D'Angelo Russell for not doing other things to stay engaged and locked in the way that he did in this game. But all I've been asking for from Darvin Ham and the team is to meet D'Angelo Russell halfway in the middle. If you see he's starting to falter, if you see he's starting to mentally slip, are you going to do anything to help him out? Are you going to draw up any set plays to get him back in the game? And in Game 3, they didn't do that. But Game 4, both parties, it seemed like, had the appropriate plan to make sure D'Angelo Russell was a huge part of the Lakers' success. And D'Angelo Russell actually let his offensive game come to him throughout the course of that game last night. And it was just, yeah, this was his best all-around performance from not only a scoring standpoint, he hit his threes, was 4 of 8, but from a playmaking and decision-making standpoint in the fourth quarter when the Lakers just ran ball screen after ball screen for D'Lo, and he kept making the right play. Whether it was pulling up for the behind-the-back crossover on Michael Porter Jr., which was absolutely sick, or throwing the no-look lob pass to LeBron James running on the baseline, to even missing a mid-range jump shot and then tapping the ball out to Anthony Davis for the floater off of his own miss. D'Angelo Russell was pretty much near flawless in the fourth quarter, and we are once again reminded that when this guy has a rhythm, when this guy is engaged and is confident, he can take the Lakers to the next level. And so I do kind of want to apologize for the harsh things I said about D'Angelo Russell, but a lot of them are true, though. If that was the last lasting impression of D'Angelo Russell, I honestly don't see how the Lakers could even entertain the thought of bringing him back. I don't know if this game four changed anything with regards to that, because I think it's become abundantly clear that having an unathletic skill guard as one of your starters in the playoffs is just not sustainable. You're seeing it across the league from other skill guards like Darius Garland and CJ McCollum, who are struggling just as much as D'Angelo Russell is, except they're making like $33 million, two times more than D'Angelo Russell is, while also having way more usage and ball handling opportunities to get into a rhythm. And they are struggling just as much as D'Angelo Russell. So D'Angelo Russell should not be getting as much flack as he's been getting from fans for being inconsistent, for being a playoff dropper, etc., etc., when you realize that D'Angelo Russell's playoff woes are not unique to him. This is an unathletic skill guard epidemic that's happening across the league. That's not to say that guys like D'Angelo Russell can't succeed or that he can't show up in meaningful games. D'Angelo Russell has already done it twice in these four games against the Nuggets, right? It's all about how he's utilized, what parts are put around him to succeed. The reality is the unathletic skill guard in the playoffs, they are just going to be inconsistent, okay? D'Angelo Russell is not an all-star. He's only being paid $17 million. I don't know why fans are expecting anything different from someone who makes $17 million. Show me the consistent $17 million player who's unathletic, who's an unathletic skill guard who's succeeding in the playoffs. I think it's become abundantly clear that the guys who succeed are the nitty-gritty physical guards like Josh Hart, KCP, Bruce Brown, Alex Caruso. Those are the guys who more consistently succeed in the playoffs because they can do other things besides score. And D'Angelo Russell is primarily a scorer and a playmaker who on his own team sometimes gets forgotten about and can't even do those things because he doesn't get the ball. So this is all my roundabout way of saying that kudos to D'Angelo Russell for another bounce back game. Every single time he has fallen flat on his face this season, he has come right back around, inhaled all of that smoke, and bounced back. Now, I hope this doesn't mean that he's going to put up a 5-point performance in Denver, but regardless, I'm just glad that we got to see one last D'Angelo bounce back game from him where he was able to once again show just how much he's grown this postseason. I'm not sure if it's enough for the Lakers to say we can move forward with D'Angelo Russell as our starting point guard, but it's important for D'Angelo Russell himself to be able to hold on to that belief that he proved a lot of doubters wrong this season. He's had a great season. The reality is he's a $17 million non-all-star player who needs very specific context and players around him in order for him to consistently succeed, especially in the playoffs. If the Lakers do somehow bring him back next season, are they willing to meet D'Angelo Russell in the middle by flanking him with more defensive-minded guards? If not, then yeah, they do have to find someone who's more offensively consistent in the likes of a Donovan Mitchell. Or if it's not Donovan Mitchell, then it's been reported that the Lakers are trying to find more of a two-way guard who can both score and defend. Good luck finding that player. All that to say, props to D'Angelo Russell for once again bouncing back. He was a huge, huge part of why the Lakers won Game 4. And I would like to apologize for my brash and brazen comments on D'Angelo Russell's Game 3 offer. I mean, I understood during that game why he struggled the way that he did. I just knew that fans were not looking to hear the excuses on D'Angelo Russell's part. And honestly, I think D'Angelo Russell wasn't down to make excuses either. You know, I felt like he really took in all of the heat and smoke and introspectively looked at what he could do to improve and impact the game from Game 3. And he said as much, right? He said, I saw the ways that KCP was guarding me in Game 3, and I realized that I had made my mind up with regards to the bad three-point shots I took. This game, I tried to switch things up and drive it into the middle portions of the floor more to see if I could get my mid-range game going or to see if I could play make more for other people and keep that aggression going. And And yeah, that is great self-awareness and introspection to see from D'Angelo Russell, considering the bad optics surrounding his last game and what he was doing on the bench, regardless of whether or not he was eating a piece of chocolate or looking on his phone, what have you. It was just a terrible night for Lakers fans. It was a terrible night for D'Angelo Russell. But guess what? That's over and done with. We all flushed it down the toilet. And our newest lasting impression of the Lakers and D'Angelo Russell is they are not going to go down silently into the night. They are going to keep fighting. They did show some pride. And they put on one last show for the Crypto.com Arena crowd. Or will there be more shows? All right, anyways, I'm going to leave it right there. I don't know what the Lakers will do in Game 5. I honestly feel like we're going to get thrashed and demolished by the Denver Nuggets. They're going to bring their A-plus game. If the Lakers are to win Game 5, they are going to need everyone in their starting lineup to at least score 15 points. It's going to need to play out almost exactly how the first half of Game 2 played out. And then the Lakers need to do what they did in Game 4 with regards to how they were able to sustain that play and put that together with their Game 2 first half, where D'Angelo Russell was super hot. Anthony Davis was on a heater himself. And now we have other guys like Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell joining the party as well. So it's going to take a collective effort and maybe another supernova game from both LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I'll say it right now, but if the Lakers can finally get some foul calls to go their way and get to the free throw line, then we maybe have a chance to bring this back to Los Angeles. Because up until this point, in the last three games, the Denver Nuggets have out-free-throwed the Lakers, which is kind of ridiculous. And I posted this stat on Twitter, but the Lakers out-painted the Denver Nuggets 72-52 with regards to paint points in last night's game. And yet the Denver Nuggets still had more free throws than the Lakers. And that has been the tale for the last three games, including the marginal contact game. The Lakers in that three-game span are outscoring Denver in the paint 196-150. Meanwhile, Denver has out-free-throwed us by 16 free throws. So when are the Lakers going to get this free-throw deficit advantage that so many fans say always go in our favor? I'm waiting for that rigged win in the Lakers' favor where we get 20 free throws. If that can happen in Game 5 and we really force the issue and continue to aggressively take it into the paint while getting a little bit of support from our perimeter shooting, then yeah, I think we can make this a potentially close game. I don't really believe what I'm saying right now. But yeah, if those things can happen, then I think the Lakers have a shot at bringing this back to Los Angeles. But regardless of what happens, honestly, I am going to be satisfied with the Lakers finally getting this monkey off their back and getting a win against the Denver Nuggets. That's enough progress and encouragement and improvement in my eyes for the Lakers to take with them into the offseason where some changes are going to need to be made. But I don't think the Lakers should necessarily be too down about themselves about what happened in this first round series. Denver is just the better team, and the Lakers are severely shorthanded. They do not have the right personnel, and I do agree with those people saying that this is kind of on the front office for not having the proper fortifications and infrastructure around this group to really help them out in a series like this. Obviously, it's not Rob Pelinka's fault that Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt are unavailable, but it is kind of their fault that Darvin Ham is still their coach and is refusing to play big lineups with the personnel that are available. Anyways, I'm starting to ramble again, so I will cut it here, cut it short there. You guys, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Please also rate and review us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast app. Let me know if you guys like these solo pods that I do. I really hate doing them, which is why I'm a little more sporadic when it comes to episode distribution throughout the week. So if I was able to ramble well enough to keep you guys engaged, please let me know. Maybe I'll do more of them. But with that said, thank you guys for listening. We will catch you guys next time. The next episode, I plan to have Tommy on, whether the Lakers are still in the playoffs or not. But yeah, with that said, I will catch you guys next time. Go Lakers.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.